I'm bored in the house and I'm in the house bored. Bored in the house and I'm in the house bored. Bored in the motherfucking house bored and I'm bored in the motherfucking house bored. Bored in the
anything house, screamed into these microphones will be recorded.
Correct.
And
what, like a whip? Like, yeah. Are you Chandler trying to do the whip, like, thing?
The automatic mute thing.
Yeah, it's a mute thing with the headset.
Got it. Or you just pull the cable right out of the goddamn board. You can do that too.
No, that makes it worse, because then the mic will be from the computer.
Oh, it'll get everything.
Yeah, it'll get everything. Yes. So, yeah.
The folks sounds listening like on doing. The podcast have no idea what's going on. I'm doing great, boys. Had a little home improvement stuff going on here, which I may unveil at some point, but... otherwise we're keeping on.
Nice.
Word.
Oh wait, who's that voice?
I feel like everyone's doing home improvement stuff. It's like
the hell. Like
you look outside, and I don't know about you guys, but if you check outside in the neighborhood, all you see is people either like doing walks, or they're working in the yard, or doing something.
Yeah. What else do we have to do?
Yeah. What else we got going on? We got to stomp the yard, man.
What is everyone over Netflix? Watch. Is everything watched?
If I hear anything else about the goddamn Tiger King, I'm canceling my subscription tomorrow.
That's pretty good.
Haven't seen a single second of it. I refuse at this point.
You watch it, Jack?
Yeah, I did.
All of it?
Yes.
Oh man. I caught the first three episodes.
Okay.
I think I got 8 minutes of it. I was like, I think I'm good.
It's just like, you know, something to watch. There's nothing else to watch, and then you just can't stop looking at it, so you just keep watching.
It's like, so, yeah. I wouldn't say it's like, so far it hasn't impressed me. It's not like one of those like shows where you're just like, oh, this is a must watch. But it's like, if you got nothing else to do and you need something in the background, that's a great background show. And it gets like amplified with each episode. Like, mm-hmm. It gets like wilder and
it's just crazy.
It's just crazy. It's just like unreal. It's just like, it doesn't seem like real life when you're watching it. It's just like these people exist.
Yeah. You
know? Is it wilder than Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's a high bar then for me.
But I'm not recommending you go out of your way and make time to watch this. I just say, if you're desperate for something to watch or just have in the background, put it on, but don't make time in the week to watch this.
You know what? Done.
He's never gonna watch.
There's season 3 of Friends that needs to be watched for about the 19th time this month, so I think I got plenty to keep me busy. We're all good there.
Go watch that again.
Oh yeah, Rachel in 1996. Oh boy. All right. Well, good to see you back, Ice. Good to have you back, I should say.
Good to be back.
Yeah, you had a tough week, which I think we'll get to, but Voltron is fully formed. Oh, there's the reason why you're back. You got your lifeblood back in the veins.
I'm gonna make it.
At least for 1 hour. Okay, fantastic. All right, should we go ahead and start the show?
Boom, 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 boom.
That makes it harder for you to actually put the music into the show later. But we're gonna start it
right
now. From the Fairfax Studios, live from Eddie's room, this is the Bad Slant Podcast. Check us out on our website, badslant.com, to the folk on Twitch. Stitch.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
How many have you had today?
I think we started with Stitch at around 5 o'clock, and I switched from dark to light, so that may be contributing to our issues here. But if you are not having issues on your end consuming the show, we thank you. And we got plenty of ways to consume the show. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Pandora, CastBox, your mother's butt, all of it. We're there. But of course, we want to find you on our website, badslant.com/support. Shopping, doing all your online shopping through Amazon, Target, and Walmart through our links. It helps us keep this show moving along. And I know everyone's been beat to death as far as trying to stock up and withstand what seems like an endless quarantine. But sometimes you need to get out the damn house, and you can't go very far. So the best way to do that is to jump on a goddamn Segway, and they got them on sale right the hell now on Target.com. Segway specifically has a 9-bot go-kart kit for $7.99. They also have a self-balancing scooter. So these are two very expensive items on their own. So the self-balancing scooter on sale for $489.99, but you can get them both right now for a cool $9.99. That's it's $1,000.
Oh
my god. Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, there's too many nines.
Way too many nines. But it's $1,000. You get a savings around $300 if you buy them together. It's an online only deal. So if you're tired of stocking up on toilet paper, you got money to burn, and you need to get away from your kids or the screaming in your household, this is the perfect way to do it. You can get it on our website, badslant.com/support. Hit the Target banner and cop you a brand new go kart scooter and kit to go with
it. Is that thing street legal, you know?
Probably not,
but it only gets up to 15 miles an hour, and granted, we're only allowed to go within 500 yards of our own homes at this point, I think. Numbers approximate, but that'd be the perfect way to just kind of scoot around and just get the hell out from just being within these four walls.
I always felt like Jack's neighborhood or his old neighborhood. I'm not sure if you're still in that house or not, but you could probably ride that go-kart around that neighborhood without dealing with any cops or anything. But
yeah, it'd probably be pretty easy.
Nice burnout action.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but here, no way, man. It's like cops galore, man.
You got a cul-de-sac, though.
Well, did I ever tell you that cops like literally park in front of my house? Like,
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, before all this nonsense, they would come and park in front of my house at least three days out of the week, because it's the easiest place to catch people. So they'll park right in front of my house, stand in the corner, and it's the one part of Lawrence that's at a stop sign. So everyone has to stop anyway. So they're just checking everyone for like expired tags, expired stickers, or anyone that was speeding way down before they got to the stop sign. So they're just getting people left and right, man. So like my neighborhood sucks to do anything like that, because I'll get in trouble like in an instant.
They catching everybody. How's your kids? How's your wife, man? It's crazy.
And the weirdest part is the cops that always park in front of my house is the same one that I got a ticket through. So then I would see him there. And then I would hit up like a local like eatery, like Chipotle or Plaka or someone. And of course, I'll run into the same cop there. It's like the town is so small that you just see the same cops over and over. So by now, like they probably don't know me by name, but they definitely know my face. They see me there enough time.
I was going to say, how are you not friends by now?
I don't know. I'm scared of cops.
As you should be. You're a noted scofflaw, as has been documented on the show. So that wasn't the reason why you had a horrible, awful week last week, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been in jail last week.
Okay, man. That explains a lot then. Well, we'll get to all that. You didn't really go into detail. You mentioned that there's a Tesla update of some kind. So we'll have to dig deeper there. But there's a lot of sports news. Again, no actual sports taking place, but perhaps some sports on the horizon that we can start to look forward to. And as always, booze carries the day. So we'll get to all those things. But I will cede the floor to you, sir. Your absence was noticeable last week, Ice. But we're glad to have you back this week, obviously. But
thanks.
What black hole did you fall into that made it impossible for you to be here last week?
Nah, it was one of those weeks again. Like every once in a while, I get myself into this predicament where I take on a little more than I can handle or should handle. And then I just get to a point where like my mentally, I just shut down. And I mean, by the end of the week, I'm just like, I just can't. I mean, it was just like a whole slew of things. First and foremost, you know, with this whole situation of staying at home and the kids being home at all times, it really tests your patience, man. I say this all the time to you, John. This is the best. I always tell you, please go out there, have some kids. I would love to see you make offspring someday, but this is not the time. Like, this is not the time to be sick and I can't, like, go out and, like, you know, take the kids somewhere. So having the kids home is just I'm losing my sanity trying to find that balance. It's impossible if you're just like a stay-at-home person, and whether you're a single parent or whatever, and your job is to only watch after your kids. I think I'm not saying that it's easy, but it makes it a lot less stressful because your focus is your kid and that's all you have to do.
Word.
When you're trying to do work and a million other things on top of then trying to teach your kids and educating your kids without just plopping them in front of a TV. That's hard, man. That takes a lot of work. So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for nannies and teachers because I have no idea how they can do all that. But then that kind of leads me to, like, one of the things that's been on my mind last week was just, like, this whole thing with, like, because, you know, I have my kids in a Catholic school, so we got paid tuition. And, I mean, it's basically, like, daycare. And with, you know, like, upperclassmen, so, you know, they're trying this whole distant learning thing where they still have assignments and homeworks that they can do online. They can hop on Zoom meetings and all that stuff. But the kids are like 3 years old, man. They can't do anything. So the activities that they're putting together for my kids is like, draw me a picture and send me an email with your picture. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not going to pay you tuition to tell my kids to draw one picture every single day. That's just not worth it. And we spend a lot of money to send them to these schools. And you know, our payment is due in like a week. So I'm like, I've been waiting for them to step up and put out some sort of email to, like, just address the issue to see, like, are they going to, like, defer payments, or are they going to, like, say, oh, hold off. But so far it's looking like they're staying quiet because they want people to continue paying. But I wanted to hear your opinions too. Like, think about it. If you had kids that age, do you feel it's right to pay tuition when all they do is tell them, you know, listen, watch this video, sing this song, and draw this picture, and send me a picture of your drawing at the end of the day, and then I'll send out a group email to your classmates that here's what your kids drew today. It's like, is that worth money? Is that called education? I mean, I personally don't. I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I am in agreement. So my daughter is, we send her to daycare as well. But my provider is a home provider. So she has been in constant contact with us. She's much older, so she does everything by herself. Mm-hmm. And she actually was very upfront in saying, you know, let's cancel my contract now because I'm not giving you a service.
See, now, I like that.
She was proactive, and she said, so from the time that classes ended, 2 weeks after that, or a month after that is when we're contractually obligated to pay her, right. But my wife and I decided we're still going to pay her, but at a reduced rate because, we are still in constant contact with her. So it's not like we're paying the full freight, but yeah, we're paying half of it. And then she's still sending us updates, things like that, to help us through the quarantine. So if your daycare is doing that, where they're being very mum about the payment, I mean, you should be the one to broach the subject and be like, hey, I'm not getting my bang for the buck. Let's renegotiate.
Trust me, the email is drafted. It's ready to go. I've just been giving them time.
It's chambered.
I'm hoping I didn't have to send that email, but
right, you're gonna be the one. Yeah, and you know my provider is different. She's just by herself. That's her livelihood. But she, not every family is able to do that. And she was very upfront about it. So she said, like, look, if you can't do it, no problem. We'll just cut it off right now. But my wife and I are still fortunate enough. We can still work from home. We're both working from home, so we decided we'll still pay her, but not the full cost. So
right,
yeah. So and
this is crazy. Yeah, so I'm actually Jack. You'll be surprised by this. I'm actually in agreement with you. It's almost like we're related or something. I thought the very notion that you're not actually getting the same product ice that you're paying for on a regular basis should be enough of a red flag to the quote-unquote provider to say, okay, maybe we need to rethink our approach to this whole thing, because it doesn't sound like your kids' Blackboard skills are that diesel just yet. So if they can't upload and download the assignments on their own with ease, I say it's probably high time that, you know, maybe just scrap the whole thing and just look towards next year, like the Redskins do every spring. But yeah, it's bizarre. But I agree with the notion that you've already made this financial commitment in your head. So even though you're not realizing that by having your kids, number one, away from you, and two, learning stuff, perhaps you know you don't take that approach where you end up paying the full freight, but you give them some of that money that you already have allotted in your head. That's already budgeted, and you're capable of playing. So, I'm in agreement with Jack, although I'm not happy about it, and I have no kids, so I have no leg to stand on here.
If this is the email that I'm hoping they send out, it's like, look, you know, to some degree, like, yes, we understand that we're not fulfilling our portions of the duty of educating your child and mentoring your kids and spending the time with them. So in all fairness, we feel like, you know, it's only right that we don't ask you to pay the tuition for the remainder of the year. But at the same time, our teachers, they, you know, this is how they get paid and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They would be more than happy to accept donations or whatever you guys want to continue to contribute. I could, like, just like you, I would be more than happy to pay a reduced tuition just to support the teachers, because I really do feel like they were doing a great job when they were there. Mm-hmm. It's just, I just don't like that they haven't mentioned it. It's like, come on, man.
Check out this GoFundMe page. Rolls off the tongue so much easier.
And we donate, like, constantly, like through it, like every month there's always asking for more money. They're always doing some charity thing that we always have to donate money. We always have to give them supplies. And like during at the beginning of this epidemic, you know, we even like went to the stores, found cleaning supplies and sprays and all that, and donated to the classroom. And we donate constantly, and we feel like, come on, man, like, I don't know. So that was kind of eat me up a little bit last week. The business side, of course, I think I alluded to a little bit after we recorded, just mentioning, like, I guess with all of this, it kind of had an impact on my business.
Right.
And some contracts were being canceled. And so indeed, there were several contracts that I was on that was active, got canceled. Some were canceled altogether indefinitely until they get sorted out. Others were postponed. Some contracts I was going after that we were actually in line or favored to win the contract, I think they had to put a pause on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks, because like all the things that I had, you know, unfortunately, like I'm not a W-2 employee, so I can't just rely on my employer. So this is, it's hard to hustle when you can't leave the house, you know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You can't go to meetings, you know, so it's been a huge challenge. So I spent a lot of last week trying to make moves without leaving the house, trying to balance everything. So there's a lot of that. In the government, you know, with the whole stimulus checks that were coming out for individuals, they're also creating some, there's some allocation for businesses, small businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily like unemployment checks or anything, but they're like to keep business running, they have these two different loans that we're eligible for, which I actually applied Basslamp for one of them because we're a business.
This is where we earn our keep.
So I mean, I've been reading all the details of trying to get a lot of that stuff in order last week. So even though I wasn't on the show, I was actually doing some business side stuff for the show, trying to see if we can get some funding there to just whatever program that we could take advantage of, since we are actually a small business. I'm trying to get all the ducks in a row for that and do all the applications and stuff. So but what I don't like about it is they switched up the terms from the beginning of the week to the end of the week. So at the beginning of the week, it's public news, so I'll put the dollar amounts out there. But basically, the EIDL is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That has a you know it's through the SBA, so you can get a loan as I think up to like $2 million or something like that. But
we applied for that.
$10,000 of that is a grant, so that's pretty much that's free money.
Yeah.
So that's and that's to businesses that falls within the requirements, and we did. I mean, because we were a business as of last year, and you know, so we meet all the requirements.
Yes.
So I thought we were eligible to get 10 grand by the end of the week. And this is why a lot of people are like throwing hissy fits at the government right now. It's like they changed the terms. Instead of all small businesses are eligible, it's like a first come, first serve. So once they allocate all the funds, it's gone. Mm-hmm. By the end of the week, it's just you're allowed X amount per team member or something like that. It was something really whack. And so they got a shitload of hate tweets and stuff on social media. So I don't know. I don't know if things are going to continue changing and evolving because of the reactions. So we'll see how that goes. So it's been spending all last week prepping all that stuff. And, as I alluded to, everyone's out doing yard work. So in whatever little time that I had left, I was out like hanging off the side of my house, painting and clearing up the yard. And it was just like with all of that, and it had some family stuff that I'm not going to get into on the show, but it was just like
bonus content.
By the time it got to like actually recording a podcast, my brain was shot, man. I was just like, I can't even think about like having a happy conversation without just like having a 3-hour bitch fest. And
I kind of want that, but whenever you're ready, you don't have to do it. No pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. So, I feel like a lot of that stuff is now kind of behind me, or kind of I've dealt with it. And so this week, I'm in a better state of mind. Good to some space. Degree. Besides, I still need to get out the house.
Go kart.
Can't you just get out and run?
No, that doesn't feel the same. I mean, I do. We're like the wifey and I. We take turns of running around the neighborhood just to get some air. Take the girl sometimes to go for walks. It's not the same, man. It's not the same.
Dude, the feds are out. Like, they have bigger fish to fry. You can totally get a Segway and just do burnouts all the live long day. It's fine.
Yeah. But I feel, after they actually mandated that stay-at-home order thing, I did notice more cop cars sitting out. I don't know if they're actually doing anything, but I do notice.
They ain't doing anything. They're not doing anything. The more important update, I think, is the Tesla update. I'm so interested to hear what this Tesla update is.
I'm going to wager that he's probably more likely to be exploring the possibility of getting a Tesla versus getting a Segway go-kart. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Although I know which one's more economical, just saying.
Well, like a couple months ago, I think, I want to say like, January, end of January, after I was wrapping up with taxes and stuff, I was like, I was like, you know what? I think maybe this is the year. Like, you know, I've kind of strung it along. I've strung you guys along. I think I just felt like,
oh.
I was like, you know, maybe this is the year. Maybe. So I had a lot of questions. Now that I'm like mentally getting to that state of mind, it's like, all right, if I'm actually on one of these things, how do I begin to prep for it? And like, you know, I had a lot of questions about the vehicles. So I had a lot of questions, but I don't really like know anyone that directly that owns. Actually, I know a couple of people, but I didn't feel like calling them and bothering them with questions. So I was like, let me try reaching out to Tesla directly. So I went to the website. They have a lot of these forms where
wait,
you
don't
can
you have a business
a
card?
The guy's gone. That dude.
It's a goddamn shame. It was the lead he was waiting for.
I know. Just years later. But yeah, so I went to the website, and then you just put in your information, and then you say you want a call back. And so I did that. I waited. No call back.
You know why? Because they looked at the email and said, you again.
I know. They're like, oh, I'm flagged in the system. Just like ignore this guy.
Red flag. And the red bottom flag.
Like, you know how they have those little live chat buttons and you click on and you start chatting with them? So I went through and I started chatting with them. Oh, and then I started asking really specific questions, and the guy whoever it was on the other end was just like, let me connect you with the specialist. I can help with all these questions. Where can we call you back? I was like, I already give you my information, but here it is again. And okay, so I did that.
Did that person at any point say, prank call, and then you heard click?
So I did that, no callback again. And this was like before the whole shutdown thing. So one night, the wife and I had to make an errand at the mall. So I was like, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to talk to them right there. So I went to the Tesla store at Tyson's Corner, and I was asking them a bunch of questions. And of course, they didn't have the answers for me. So they're like, I'm going to call over to, because their dealership, there's one just like down the street from the mall on Tyco Road or something. So they're like, let me put you in touch with my boy over there. And then yeah, I swear to God, I don't know why people talk to me like this, but they said, they promised me they're going to pass my information down to one of his coworkers, and he was going to call me back and answer all my questions. No, he didn't do that either. I was like, jackass, man. So I waited weeks, and I didn't hear back from any of those three sources. So I was like, screw it. I'm gonna take my ass down to the dealership. So I went straight to the dealership.
Oh, no.
I was hoping to see that homeboy.
Oh, my God.
I ended up having to sit with another person, and I wasted more of that poor man's time.
Oh my God!
I didn't do a test drive this time, but I did bombard him with a shit ton of questions, and I know he was trying to put up with me, but
does it come in black?
Yes, so I ordered one. So
wow. So,
wow.
What?
So
in this economy?
No, hold up. Let me take a couple steps back.
You should backpedal so, really fast.
So I was looking at a couple models, and again, remind you, this is now sometime in February before shit hit the fan, right? So I got a lot of my questions answered. I weighed my options. I was looking at two different models, and once I made the decision, I decided, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger. You know, like I felt good. I had tons of contracts lined up. I was getting ready to sign all these contracts, and it was going to carry me through the end of the year. Everything was going to be great. Yeah, exactly. I was going to be making it rain on myself. And then I was like, okay, so I
and
did
then
it.
Somebody
the
ate a bat.
Well, and then next thing you know it, here comes March coming along, and then all this corona coming to town, and then like now all my contracts on pause, postponed, and
canceled. You know. Tell me you canceled.
Ixnay on the Eslate.
No, but let me tell you, so the model that I ordered, it was just announced last year. It was the Model Y, right? So I ended up, I was looking at the X or the Y, and I wanted the X primarily for the fucking wing doors, because I just thought the doors are badass. But then when I started comparing all the technology between the Y and the X, there was actually a lot technically that I like about the Y more than the X. Then there's things that I like about the X more than Y. But anyways, so overall, I settled for the Y. But at the time, the Y isn't out, so you can't just buy it at the store. You have to order it. And because they just announced it a year ago, there's this long wait list for the Y. So I was like, okay, if I decide to order it, I'm just going to put my name at the end of the list. I'll wait. By the time my time comes up, it's going to be, you know, like probably at the end of this year or closer to January, February, a year later or something. So I was like, let me just get on the wait list now and then I'll be good to go later. Dude, somehow by placing that order when I did and talking to the dude at the dealership, he snuck my ass into the front of the line. They found me the car that I ordered.
Yes.
And I got a text like a week later saying,
I'm so happy right now.
Oh my God. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I wasn't expecting to get my car in 2 weeks. And so
2 weeks.
I kept flipping and flopping. I was like, I don't know what to do, because like, I mean, I could still go through with it. Maybe I don't. I kept bouncing the idea off the wife. You're like, well, what do you think? I'm playing out these different scenarios. And then I'm calling the dude back. I'm calling the inspection people. Like, I'm calling all these people. And then I was like, one of the last conversations. Like, so I decided to go through with it. So I went all the way there again. The car ready for me. They're gonna. I was because of this whole coronavirus thing. They have this contactless pickup system where you just go pick up the car waiting for you. So I get to the day before pickup. And then I wake up with cold feet, and I was just like, something tells me, the responsible side of me tells me something doesn't feel right about this moment of taking this car. So I had a long conversation with them, and I was like, hey, be real with me. So my options are I can take it and I'll be super happy, but because of this lockdown, I can't drive it anywhere. So I'm going to literally pick it up from you. I'm going to drive it home. And it's going to stay right there and not move an inch. Or I just say, give it to the next person in line. I'm not quite ready for it, and put me back at the end of the line again. And I was like, but be real with me. If I do that, when will I get this car? And then they couldn't tell me. They're just like, you know, it could be, You may get lucky again, and somehow we get you back to the front of the line. There's a chance that maybe it'll be 2 to 4 months, or worst case, it'll be sometime next year.
This I guy,
mean, we can't tell you.
He can't hit a sneakers raffle like it hits Tesla's.
I know.
This is insane.
So, I went back and forth again. So I told them, I was like, give it to the next person.
Okay.
I was like, so there's something that just tells me now's not the time. If somehow I hit the raffle again and rematch with them in like a month, maybe I'll go through with it. But if it, you know, like I'm hoping it's like maybe in the 2 to 4 month range. I'm hoping it's not a year later, because then I'll be kicking myself. But yeah. Isn't that crazy? I went from thinking that it was going to be a year wait to a week. It was assigned to me and it was like ready to go. I was like, holy hell, man.
Dude, if you weren't blacklisted before.
I know.
You're on the Tesla ban list now.
You are on double secret probation from now until rapture. I can't believe you got to the precipice of not just jerking off dealers, but then blue balling them to the point where they're about to bust and drop the car off at your door. And you said, did you see the market today? Mm-hmm. I'm out.
I had all the financing sorted out too. I had all the detail. They ran the credit report. It was, everything's good to go. it was just like, nope.
Yeah, there's an asset on your ledger that's called bad slant that seems to be dragging everything else down, but otherwise you're good.
Oh man. But I personally couldn't believe that I somehow cut to the front of the line. But I mean, sheesh, man. I guess that can happen.
It can. Like, it definitely can.
I blame it on the sales dude that I sat down with. I swear to God, he was feeding me all this stuff like, nah, man. Because he was trying to get me to buy the X. He was like, you got to get the X. If you get the Y, you're not going to get it for like a year from now, man. And then somehow 2 weeks. 2 weeks, man.
With pay.
Okay, holy I can hell. See the Y.
Right. Except he won't see the Y for another year at least. Holy shit.
don't say that. God. Killing myself. Like every day that I look out the window, I keep waiting to see if that my Y is going to drive by and someone else is going to be driving in it. I'm like, oh, man.
That Honda ain't going to turn into a Y magically. I'm just going to throw that out there.
And I see all these videos on like YouTube and social media that people actually went through and picked up their Y and they're all like super happy. I'm like, guys, man.
They're driving around in circles with their masks on.
Yeah, I know. and the guy had the nerve to tell me, because I was like, dude, like, the part of why I'm declining this is because I can't leave the house. You got to understand, like, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to buy this car and then I'm going to be super excited and then not leave the house. So what's the point of paying monthly payments for something I can't even use? And he was like, no, dude, this is the best time because no one's on the road. You can just let it rip. And I was like, he's such a single dude, man.
Yeah.
Always it's a nice car. Fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where to go. I can't downshift out of that, Jack.
This close. This close.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I can't hit any of these shoes, but I can hit on a car with a year wait list. Come on, man. Makes no sense.
Nope. Just like your treatment of Tesla salesman makes no sense whatsoever. Holy God. You want to talk about X-Men Dark Phoenix? I don't know, man.
That movie was garbage. I don't know if you boys seen it. But.
Was that experience any better than you almost buying a Tesla for the second time and not following through? What was worse?
I think the pain, I felt the pain more with declining the Tesla than the movie. But the movie was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand the timeline anymore. I just don't know where
they've ruined falls. It.
I was like, are they in the current day or this is the past or like because they're so young, but I don't know where we are.
It's a new timeline.
Just like
it's the worst timeline.
Let's just wash everything out and start over. Like I'm so over this. Like I really liked some of these characters that they casted for the first class. Like I really do like them a lot. It's just I just don't know what happened, man. They went wrong somewhere, and it was too much Mystique. I don't like how they focus so much on Mystique. Like she's like, you know, that I don't know. Everything pisses me off about that movie.
You are not having a good 2 weeks. I'm just gonna go out on a limb here.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Like, can you imagine? Like he comes home from not having driven home a Tesla, and he's like, I gotta wash this off my palate. Let's turn on the latest X-Men flick.
It was the worst rated X-Men flick of all of the
was it?
Yes.
The worst?
Yeah.
And look, I believe it.
And look, I gave Apocalypse like a better than fair grade. Like this one is so like it's like 50 feet of cow shit and then you get to X-Men Dark Phoenix. Like you could argue that this movie sunk all of 20th Century Fox on its own merits. It's awful. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. They made Xavier into a bad guy. Like, what in good God's name were they thinking in all of this? It's just a complete train wreck, which is funny because there's an actual train wreck in the thing. But it's so absurdly awful that I'm happy to say good day to Michael Fassbender's Magneto and Jennifer Lawrence's beautiful but also equally awful Mystique. it was just a disaster from beginning to end. There might have been like 5 minutes in there that were palatable, but otherwise it was just a train wreck.
Yeah, it was towards the end. That was it.
Yeah, god awful. All right.
Like I was rooting for Jean Grey too, and because I think she looks the part. It's just I think her as an actress in this role was really dry. It wasn't believable.
Oh, Lady Sansa of House Stark, you mean?
Yeah.
Jack has no idea what that means. He'll find out next year.
Not one moment.
Yeah.
Not one bit. I don't know what that means.
Is he supposed to start live tweeting?
Was it this year or next year? I can't figure it out. When was that timeline? Like X-Men.
Now's the time.
Yeah, now's the time. Quarantine is here. So I saw a tweet. Today saying. Was it last year we thought that the Game of Thrones finale was the worst thing ever, and then now we hit the pandemic, so kind of puts things in perspective.
Exactly. 2020, literally. Yeah. 2020, how about that? Oh god. Yeah. We need a palate cleanser out of that. Like I need to divorce this conversation from another Tesla disaster, from any remnants of this X-Men deal. Jack, do you have anything that could possibly wash this horribly acidic flavor off our palates?
Yes, we have a new affiliate, maybe not so new, but new to us. It's GoDaddy. So GoDaddy is the world's largest and trusted domain registrar that empowers people like you with creative ideas to succeed online. Buying a domain is easy with GoDaddy's domain search tool and domain generator tools. You can find the perfect website address for your business. But GoDaddy offers more than just a platform to build your website. GoDaddy offers everything you need to create an effective, memorable online presence. And if you already have one or more of their products, transferring your domain, website, or hosting to GoDaddy lets you consolidate your web presence with one provider so it's easier to manage. For our listeners, visit our page, badslant.com/support. Click the GoDaddy banner today. Find your perfect.com starting at just $4.99. Get going with GoDaddy.
GoDaddy. Yeah, sorry.
Cheers,
Jack.
To that.
Cheers. Sorry, I hijacked you out of the initial read last week, Jack. We got to maintain quality standards, but you knocked it out of the park this week. Because, you know,
it's fine. No big deal.
It's helpful when we remember to do the read on the show. I'm just gonna lay that out there.
I remembered after the fact.
After the fact, when we were just grasping at straws and trying to figure out what we did wrong without ice on the show.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you guys are monitoring the conversations here in our stream, but we got Beerman, VA Beerman 69, and
of course,
and Uncle Phil on the line.
Get out of town. I should totally check on our Twitch feed every now and then to check that this thing is actually working. Oh, well, hey guys, so we're glad you guys are partaking in this Michigas as we chronicle another failure on ICE's part, but it's fine. But speaking of failures, Dana White, I put together our rundown for this week, and I thought, holy hell, Dana White is he's the Christ body. He's walking on water. He made the impossible happen. He turned water into wine, and he made UFC 249 go from dead in the ground to being alive and well and on schedule for execution on April 28th. We thought with Khabib bowing out of the fight, it was dead in the water, but then they found another contender in Justin Gaethje that would resurrect the card, and he would fight Tony Ferguson for the lightweight strap. Oh, but lo and behold, that's what happens when I try to put together a summary for our show, and I do it one day too early. I think within like 2 hours of us going live for this show is when I saw the tweet saying that the UFC 249 was effectively canceled officially. Whatever Indian ground that they were planning to execute the card on was not going to allow that to happen. And on top of that, they're canceling every prospective UFC card that's going to be on the horizon for at least, I don't know, like a month or so. Did you guys see this at all? Like, or was I just...
I did.
Okay.
But, like... He must have got some serious hammer, man, because, I mean, Dana White doesn't listen to anyone. I mean, he does what he pleases, and he keeps the show going. And for things to get canned, like, really, like, in the, at the last minute, it's like something major probably came down and it's just like, dude, you either listen or you're gonna get smacked around or something. I don't know.
So it was from the higher ups, yeah, right?
Yeah,
I saw it was like something from Disney, ESPN, or something. Some high execs.
Right. The quote from Dana White is that he got, quote, a call from the highest level you can go at Disney, which is the same Disney that owns everything, and the highest level of ESPN, which, of course, if you know
they
sports,
own that island.
Pretty much, they own islands and people, so they were the ones that effectively nixed this whole damn thing. And you know, I think ESPN is in the business of putting out content, so you know that they are interested in getting any of that content at any turn. So the fact that they would turn away brand new, live, fresh content means something. But
yeah, I mean, Rose Namajunas's family member died from the coronavirus.
I think so. Two family members.
Yeah, several. So, like, there's just – I mean, he was going to go rogue. I mean, he's been talking about – Dana White's been talking about trying to put on an event for weeks. So he was kind of tone deaf to the whole pandemic. And now, like, he was – a little bit. And now he was so close to getting what he wanted, like having that, like, that island where he can throw the fights. And
he was so close to selling this Tesla. Oh, my God.
Nice. Yeah, so I mean, and then the memes now are just like everyone like talking about how Khabib is laughing at everybody, at Dana White, because he was the first one last week. We were both kind of trashing him.
I lambasted him, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely went in harder than I did, but still now he's taking the last laugh. Like, he's just like, look, I was already not trying to fight, and now you can see why. So, gallant effort on Dana White's part, but I mean, it was if ESPN is the one saying they're the ones who are going to put on the fight, and they said no, that's a lot. That's big.
It's a big deal, but like not to like. Pivot the conversation to something that I'm more intimately involved in, but how much better does this make Vince McMahon look? Because he was able to pull off not just one night of events, he pulled off a two-night WrestleMania, and somehow he's got like this this backdoor plan to have events recorded for weeks on end. It just kind of puts Vince in a completely different stratosphere, because he was able to pull off what Dana White is desperately trying to execute, which is like just a closed door fight. WWE was able to do that. And by all accounts, they hit a home run. Like like everybody was tuned into that. People signed up. They got a whole bunch of new subscribers to the WWE network. Like I imagine that's part of the reason why Dana was so desperate to get this thing off the ground, but man, it's crazy to think that they were able to execute that, and the UFC is just failing at every turn.
Yeah, if only he was able to ride the momentum, so it was going to trickle into this ripple effect of like getting into other sports doing these like close setting like experiences. But Jack, do you watch any of the WrestleMania?
Not 1 minute.
Okay, that's one less subscriber. You
know, I did tune into a little bit of the WrestleMania, because I've never seen any of the Raws or anything that they've done like in like just a closed environment. But I tuned in for part of the WrestleMania. So I watched like a couple of the matches, and then I watched that. So I saw the ones with like an empty practice facility looking thing, and it was weird. I saw I saw the Goldberg fight.
Not worth it.
And no.
totally not worth
so
it.
I was like, it was weird. It was, in normal circumstances, I think they could have played that up pretty cool with them having the crowd interaction and stuff. But then seeing them just like, I don't know, hollering at each other, like, rah, rah, and then there's like no reaction in the crowd. It doesn't work the same. And then
it's weird.
And then seeing that. Yeah, and then I watched the Undertaker one, and like that really produced match, and it was interesting. I think
it was fun as hell. I'll say that it was goofy.
I laughed a lot, man. I guess I don't know if I'm supposed to, but I laughed a lot.
You watching should. That.
They're just all the time. They're just like, oh my god, really? But it was, you know, it's entertainment. It works.
That's all you
for
need.
A second. My brain shut off. I forgot about the rest of the world and what was going on, and I was tuned in and I laughed. I had a good time, and if they did this once a year, I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun if they put the right amount of effort into the script and the stage and the setting and all that. I think they can do a lot better, but overall, I think thumbs up, man. I think they did a hell of a job putting something together in a time that we had nothing. So I was digging that. I did hear the Bray one was cool, right?
It was batshit insane, and I think half of the elements would go clear over your head. But it's just like there's elements of time travel and what if and what could be like. It's like a wrestling fan's wet dream where like they imagine John Cena as a bad guy, and like not just a regular bad guy, John Cena as a member of the NWO. Like it's completely insane, and you had no idea where they were going with it. And there were people That's complaining great. That like there's no match involved in this match, like there was no wrestling involved in it. Then all of a sudden like they condense it to actual combat at some point. And it's wild. It completely different direction than anything the WWE has done in recent memory. So I think they're getting 1 points for effort and 2 for the actual quality of the thing, because the fact of the matter is they might have had, I think, 10 days from when they said, okay, we got to shut this puppy down, to where they actually had to have a product on the street. And they somehow had this thing put together, and it looks like a pretty good Sundance B flick, where, you know, and that, like, I mean, like the best kind of B flick, and they pulled it together with like the creative energy of like 3 or 4 different people, and of course Vince is kind of hovering above as our deity, and he's kind of, you know, as always, but. They made this thing work, and it's got people talking, like, and they've gone so far as where that blueprint could potentially let the Undertaker's 65-year-old ass wrestle for like another 10 years, because they can do like goofy shit like this forever. Yes. You know, like they can trot his ass out once a year, and you know he'll have like a Michael Bay type match, and we'll all be just jerking to it.
Well, what's funny is like the dialogue is funny. It's like the fact that you actually hear them talk throughout the fighting. It's like
it's weird.
What'd
to
you
hear?
Say? What'd you say?
It's like, it's like weird. Did the Undertaker just call AJ Styles a bitch? What is that?
Nice.
I was like, this is so funny. Oh man!
If only we could have heard Tony Ferguson call Justin Gaethje a bitch, like live and in person. That would have been great.
So was the Bray fight a Bray Wyatt fight, or was it the Fiend? Like which one was it?
You had Bray Wyatt and the Fiend involved in this, and the fact that they recorded it allowed that to happen. Where I won't give away the ending. I'll kind of give away parts of the ending.
No! I'm gonna watch it. Okay, don't ruin anything.
Never mind. There are points in this whole thing where Bray and the Fiend are involved at the same time. So, but that's a byproduct of them being able to film it, you know, and produce the whole thing. But it's goofy, it's crazy. There's a character named Johnny Large Meat, so you know, do with that information what you want. Yeah.
What?
It's crazy. It's hilarious. It is insane. I actually wanted to have us sit together and do like a watch along, and like I've already had the benefit of seeing it as it premiered.
Oh.
But if we can watch it together and have the mics on,
like the replay.
Yeah, just commentary it. As we're watching.
Yeah, like we can Mystery Science Theater the hell out of this thing. I don't give a shit. It's batshit crazy.
A 7-hour WrestleMania.
No, no. It's 2 nights, so it's okay. Broken up. So you can do like 4. I think it's 4 hours, 3 hours each night. Maybe a little bit over on one of those nights, but yeah. Break it up however you want, and if you guys want to do this together, I am more than able to commit that time to you guys.
Nice. We got to some degree nothing but time.
We got nothing but time, like Vin Diesel said.
I'm sure we can make it work.
Word.
Yeah, make it fashion. You know what? We were going to talk about the Bucks and Falcons jerseys. I don't think that really has any interest to us since we're winding down toward the end of the show. All right.
Next.
Two things. Jordan Bulls documentary coming out towards the, I guess, less than, was it a week now? Maybe like 9 days?
The 19th?
Yeah. The 19th? 18th? Something like that? On a scale 1 to 10, you're a 12 and a half, right, to see this thing hit the street.
Oh, my God. So they claim that a lot of this is unseen footage to everyone. And I find that hard to believe because I feel like between all of us, we've seen everything there is to see on Michael Jordan. We've seen the gameplay, we grew up in that time. Then we've seen all the highlight reels. We've seen all these produced videos after the fact. When he was retiring, he got his big farewell season where we've seen all these montages of the best clips put together. So for them to claim that they put together this 10-part, documentary
a lot of content.
And a lot of it is never before seen content. I find that so hard to believe. And that's what has me the most intrigued to have new content of Jordan. I would love that, man. And I guess like prepping up to it, like this past week, I don't know if you guys noticed, but my feed has been filled with like all these like Jordan, like best ofs and stuff. So I've been watching tons of these videos and
he's been getting
me hyped again. I'm ready. I'm so, this guy was good, man. It's like sometimes like we say he's good. We say he's the GOAT. But then when you go back and watch how good he was, you're like, damn, he really was good, man.
He was better.
He was smart. In addition to being like really skilled, he was really smart on the court and with some of the things he was doing. And just like the physical too. It's like when you see how high he jumps, like his jump shot is over your defenders. It's nuts. And I cannot wait to watch this documentary and to, I just can't imagine what else it's going to show like that we don't know.
I want to hear more about when he was he for or against the trade of Scottie Pippen. Like I'm trying to figure out like what side of the fence he landed on that.
Is that even public knowledge?
I think there were prospective trades on the table where Scottie was on the block, and I struggle at this one. I know there was a story that was leaked, Jordan obviously fell on one side of the fence. I just can't remember offhand, but I'd be interested to hear way more about that and see how that ended up getting killed because obviously he didn't get traded. But I think I saw something on Instagram about potentially Sean Kemp being traded to the Bulls in exchange for Scottie Pippen. I know Ice would have won in that exchange, but still.
I don't know. I think I would have been happy either way, but I feel like overall Pippen was a better defender.
He's so much better than Sean Kemp before Sean Kemp ate himself.
Like I don't think the Bulls would have been happy with Sean Kemp.
Especially not Sean Kemp when he discovered Whataburger.
I wish I had the stat, but someone put out that people keep sleeping on the fact that like Pippen was like on the first team like defense for like 10 years straight or some shit like something ridiculous like that. And people he always gets no love, man. Like people don't give Pippen the credit that he deserves just because he was riding along. MJ, but the guy was a beast too, man.
I think you're getting caught up in the recency effect. Like nowadays, he doesn't get as much love as think he should.
For sure,
we
appreciate him.
He was elected as one of the top 50 players of all time. Like that's it's undisputed at this point. Like everyone knows is downgrading his contributions to that Bulls team. It's just being an asshole at this point. So
it's just not today. Yeah. I don't think the kids today. I feel like they barely respect Jordan. I feel like they think LeBron's their GOAT. So
come on now.
Their best dance is the dummy now. So.
I don't even think Kobe's their GOAT. I think it's LeBron.
No, I think Kobe is probably held in pretty high regard.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, what's not held in high regard are the Bucks and Falcons uniforms, so we can go ahead and nix that from the discussion. Okay, this is what we really want to talk about. When can we order and receive alcohol, liquor, specifically here in the state of Virginia? I know Jack has his finger on the pulse. He doesn't give a shit about Jordan and the Bulls. He wants to know when he can get his bottle of KO Distilling delivered on his doorstep. An update to this story? Because I know that the governor decreed that this was possible, but Jack, you said that there was potentially some adjustments, changes?
Not changes. I mean, okay. You're still able to get delivery of alcohol from a distillery.
A Virginia distillery.
Correct. And then you have to be able to sign for it and obviously just show that you're over the age of 21. A new development that just happened today is that several of the ABC stores in Northern Virginia are closing starting on April 13th.
Get out.
Through the 30th.
They're so, essential.
Because closing? Yeah, due to staffing restrictions, some of the...
Oh, they caught the stuff.
Yeah, they caught the COVID, so they need to self-quarantine. So it's not to say that all of them in this area are closing. It's just the one near my house is closing starting Monday. Two of them, the one in Springfield and then the one in Annandale.
In Bradley?
Yes, they're closing for 2 weeks.
That's where I got my Blantons from. Holy
shit. Yep, so.
That one?
Yeah. Please
That one time.
I am going to you know your boy is going to go tomorrow to get some alcohol because I'm running low. If you can tell, like this is my last bit of any type of liquor. So that's the update I had. So it just came out today.
That's
came
a from dagger. Richmond.
It's a complete dagger, and it's all in Northern Virginia too. It's all. From what I can tell, Vienna, that's where you're at, Ice. There's one in Fairfax off Fair Ridge Drive. And yeah.
That ain't me, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So it's weird, you know. So I saw the article that said that they were going to start delivering. So I looked through the list of all the distilleries that are approved to deliver. And I saw KO was, so I was like, oh, great. So I was going to see if I can order something for delivery. I went to their website, and the only thing they said was like, sorry, folks, we've converted our distillery into manufacturing hand sanitizer.
Oh,
so no booze for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, come on, man, don't tease me like this. I'm on this goose hunt to find people that will deliver liquor now. And I went to Falls Church because I saw Falls Church they're approved to deliver. So I went there. There's nothing on their website that talks about delivery. So I'm like, I don't know what the hell to expect now. Wow. And I think this week, the local ABCs were starting to get shipments of Terramana, the rock tequila.
Get out of Dodge. I'm going to walk out of this podcast right now and just walk and camp out in front of my ABC.
I've been eager to, I saw the, I couldn't find a way to get there today, but my the ABC in Vienna actually had two bottles of Terramana today, the Reposado, and I wanted to go pick it up. I just couldn't find time to get out there, man. But two bottles.
It's the Rock's tequila. What rock have you been living under? My God, Jack. Are you not a follower?
Marky Mark.
He doesn't have a tequila, so I don't know that.
I'm surprised he hasn't got into the liquor game, the spirit game.
You want to try my liquor?
Yeah.
Give me back my liquor. Let's do it. We could do it right now.
What do they drink in Boston? Beer?
And fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sam Adams.
Oh. Yeah, does he sell that? Does he endorse that?
That's a horrible cocktail.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that Virginia bars are allowed to do takeout cocktails now? Isn't that weird?
Did they start that all of a sudden?
They're allowed to. The governor said. The governator said. He said.
He's not the governator. Come on now.
You're spitting out of control.
He wishes.
You can go to these restaurants now that's open, that's a central business, and you can order a cocktail. And you can get it to go and drink at home. I just don't know how that actually works because a lot of times the cocktail has ice in it, and by the time you drive it home, it's melted and diluted. Or they put it into to-go cup, and you're driving home, and you're going to take a sip because it's right there. So now you're drinking and driving.
It's open container law, too.
Isn't that crazy? Like, what are you supposed to do?
If you're not a rampant alcoholic like we are, I think you can wait the 20 minutes to get home and crack open the sealed bottle that contains your crafty beverage.
What are they going to seal your – they're going to put a Saran wrap on top of your solo cup. Like, no, that's all it is.
Perhaps not, but I've seen a few Instagram accounts chronicling the trials and tribulations of cocktail bartenders, and they showed the guys mixing it up in full-on hazmat suits, and then they pour it into a bottle. They ensure that it is firmly concealed and closed up. You're on your way. And then I imagine they give you instructions on the proper way to serve it, but yeah, I think... they've thought this whole thing. At the very least, Virginia can bite whatever the state of New York is doing, because I imagine they're doing it in higher volume there than they are here, or they would be doing here.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like Issa stopped talking because he saw the picture that Uncle Phil
sent. I was like, wow.
Yeah. 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 He's going to run a batch and like, completely forget about the Tesla.
Do you still have that?
I'm surprised that's you crazy. Don't. Honestly.
Oh, God.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's
even
solid.
Even on a hanger, too.
It's pretty legit.
Yeah. And it's a champion.
Is that silk? Oh.
Maybe a sateen.
Like silk?
Yeah. It looks like an authentic. That's all I'm going to say. All ice. Right. Well, we've brought Ice back from the brink. He doesn't have a brand new car, but he's talking to us again, so that's an improvement. And he's happy. He's looking at Sean Kemp's jersey, and you know, nothing can make him any happier, I don't think.
This me my hold on. Look at do this.
It. Come on, man.
He's zooming in now.
Am I missing? Oh, there you go.
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh yeah, look at that, Uncle Phil. Look at that.
Cheers, to Uncle Phil.
Shout out to Uncle
Phil. Can't believe you have a Sean Kemp jersey.
Yo.
He's coming correct with the content tonight.
Oh my God. What is he? What else is he? Weber? Oh.
He's got a jersey catalog the likes of which no. Fabulous can't match. Like, it's insane.
What is this?
F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S.
That's a Sacto. That's a Sacto King jersey. So
it's no love. If you had a Bullets Weber jersey, that's a different story.
I don't think Ma and Pa Weber have a Chris Weber Bullets jersey. I'm pretty sure. All right. Well, I think that's a good enough reason for us to go ahead and sign off here. But Ice, welcome back into the fold. Perhaps we'll be well lubricated next week. I'm in a full blown panic at this point. I think we're out of brown liquor here in the household, so Jack has sent me on a fool's errand tomorrow. So I'll let you boys know before next week if.
Please tell me if you get that Terramana. I'm going to drive by. You're going to put a shot on the front step. I'm going to take a sip and then I'll leave.
Okay,
is it that good?
I need to know. He's been hyping it up like it's the best tequila in the world.
Well, it's and then, the rock, my God.
Well, yeah, come on. It's the people's tequila. And he's given some to Oprah. And even Oprah has drank it without even making a face. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's she's sick. Not allowed to consume solid food, so you know it's good.
Oh my God!
Perhaps we'll have a taste test next week if we can get our hands on a bottle or two.
Maybe if we all could find Terramana, let's do it on the show.
Terramana, okay. I'll keep an eye out for it tomorrow.
Hey, you're going anyways. Look
yep.
forward.
Yep, yep, yes, sir.
If you don't acquire, I'll leave a margarita on your doorstep. Fair is fair. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. We got plenty more to get to. Hopefully, we'll be past the worst of all of this nonsense. But until next week, up here, I'm already gone.
Unbelievable. It's the worst line ever. Every week.
Still.
I hate
later.
You. Good night.
Later. Bye-bye.